The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
It's time now for Dan, the Insurance Man, your go-to guy for answers on all of your insurance questions for when life happens. And now, here's Dan Tuchman. Dan, the Insurance Man.
Hey, good afternoon, Jacksonville. This is Dan, the Insurance Man. You're listening to the Insurance Hour. I have a very prestigious guest with me today, Mark Goldwich from Gold Star Adjusters. He's a personal adjuster. You'll be able to give us a call, ask some questions. He'll be happy to answer them. The numbers to call are 222-TALK or 222-8255. And we're going to start. I want to give you a little bit of background. So Mark is a public adjuster here in the Jacksonville area. I'll full disclosure, full transparency. I referred to him my father-in-law, and we're gonna talk about that particular claim and how it worked and the process that was used. Over the years I've referred friends, neighbors, business associates to Mark and his company on claims issues with their homes, especially after named storms or hurricanes that come blowing through the area. And so we're gonna take it away, and I'm gonna let Mark have the microphone here for a moment, and we're gonna talk about what a personal adjuster does.
Well, thanks, Dan. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me. Like you said, I am a public insurance adjuster. What that means is we help people who have property insurance claims. We represent them directly to their insurance company. We have basically the same license as what the insurance company adjuster does. The only difference is we represent the policyholder, the person who actually bought the policy, instead of representing the insurance company. They have their adjusters, and most people don't know it, but you have your own insurance adjuster too. You just have to find them and hire them. And so we represent you to the insurance company, make sure you get paid everything that you're supposed to get paid, because otherwise you end up getting paid what the insurance company feels like paying you. And it really is that simple. So using our license and our experience, we represent you to the insurance company and make sure that you get everything you're entitled to.
So back over the past name storm, I can't remember which one, my father-in-law, some trees fell in his house or in his yard. A couple of them hit the upstairs deck and did some damage. And they were having some problems with the insurance company. And I said, hey, you guys should call Mark Goldwich. And they did. And you came out. You handled his claim personally. Tell me about what happened there and what you were able to do in helping them.
Okay, for sure. This was after Hurricane Matthew, which is October of 2016. And they had wind damage for the most part, trees down, limbs down, and just some very generic and very typical wind damage that lots of homeowners all across the state experienced after Hurricane Matthew. And it was simply a matter of the insurance company was not paying everything that they could voluntarily or on their own. And so before I had got involved, the insurance company had written what they felt was a very adequate estimate of about, they had paid a little over $11,000. Let's say they had paid a little over $11,000, and there was a large deductible involved, because after hurricanes, insurance companies impose larger percentage deductibles, and theirs was over $10,000. So after the $10,000 deductible, the insurance company made a payment of a little over $11,000. After I came in, what we do is we start all over. We basically start from scratch. We don't, worry that the insurance company wrote an estimate of over $21,000. We just start all over. We look for bills. We We write some of the estimates on our own. We ask for estimates from companies. In this case, there was a deck involved that had a nice ornamental wrought iron fence around it as a railing, and that was damaged. And this is something that you just don't pick up at a big box store. So, you know, we got estimates. There was irrigation involved. There was just a lot of things involved. Not a huge amount, but all told, we got an additional $7,777 and some cents. So roughly about 68% more than what the insurance company had already paid. And our fee is small. Our fee is just 10% after a named storm like that. So, you know, even after our fee came out, they were still left with over 61% more than what the insurance company had initially offered. And that's a good chunk of money.
Do you find that, so in the state of Florida, I like to say there's, When Florida licenses a company to do business, it's typically a reputable company. They have the finances and the resources to pay their claims.
Right.
So it's not a financial thing. So is this typically, do you find that their adjusters are their adjusters compensated so that the less they pay out, the more they make on the back end, like a commission? Or is it, What do you typically find from a claim standpoint?
It's funny, I hear that a lot so often, so that it there must be something to the thought that it just seems that people believe that the insurance company or the insurance adjusters actually make more money for paying out less. I was an insurance adjuster myself for 17 years with a very large insurance company. We never had a program like that. But what we did have was other incentives, I would say. You know, one, the adjusters that were known for being generous in the office, they were kind of ridiculed or ostracized. They were kind of mocked for being the ones that paid too much, right? And so the other adjusters, they don't want to be that person. And we were also taught that every little slippage in payment of an insurance claim or an overpayment or fluff or whatever they would call it, they'd have different words for it, but it basically means paying too much. They would ding you for it, and they would counsel you on it, and they would try to reel you back in so that you're not paying these extra payments or what they considered to be overpayments. So you have a combination of things where it just seems that they end up going, okay, if I want to do my job and I don't want to get dinged and I don't want to get scolded and I don't want to be ridiculed, I'm just not going to pay very much, because no one ever complains except the policyholders, you know, when I don't pay too much. In other words, the insurance company is, whether they're happy or not, they don't get on my back when I don't pay a lot of money. And my teammates or my coworkers, they don't mock me when I don't pay a lot of money. So it just seems to be the way to get along. And so that's what they do. And so if the policyholders complain, well, that's what they do. You know, in their eyes, policyholders always want more money. So they're always complaining for more money, or always complaining that you're not paying enough money. So that's going to happen anyway. So they just don't give that much consideration. They worry more about what the insurance company says, what their boss says, and what their coworkers say. And so they tend not to pay that extra money.
So what happens when a homeowner does complain? I mean, do the insurance companies do they come back and do another review? Or, you know, so typically what a lot of people say is oh, if the insurance company doesn't want to pay it, then I got to go hire an attorney to sue them. Well, that was a quick segment. Just remember, you can give us a call at 222-TALK or 222-8255, and we're going to pick this up right after the break.
If you're like most people and you see two gas stations and one sells gas for a little bit less, you go to that one. It just makes sense. Every little bit helps. But here's what's weird, though. Sometimes we save a few pennies here and there and ignore opportunities to save huge money, life-changing money. If you switch to MediShare for your health care, it could be massive savings for you. The typical savings for a family is $500 a month. Think what you could do with that over time. Just doing the math, that's $6,000 a year. That is significant. And yes, people love it, and they love it because it works. It's believers who share each other's healthcare costs. More than 400,000 people are now members of MediShare, and it's growing like crazy. Find out how much you could save and why MediShare is so popular. Go to MediShare.com or call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. MediShare.com or 877-64-BIBLE.
SNC Square Roofing, everything you should expect from a roofing contractor and more. Hey, it's John Vitas, the voiceover guy. SNC Square Roofing replaced my roof, and I'm here to tell you, my wife and I were amazed at their quality of work and how well they kept the job site so clean. SNC Square Roofing, from the estimate to the last shingle, you can count on a job well done. SNC Square is a certified, CertainTeed shingle master applicator. Give my roofer a call today. SNC Square LLC, roofing with integrity. Call 524-8621. That's 524-8621.
The election is over. Now, what does it all mean? How are the results going to shift our nation, our state, our lives? WBOB will follow all the developments and bring all the inside stories so you'll know exactly what is happening and how it will affect you. WBOB Talk Radio.
Insurance. You never want to have to use it, but you're thankful it's there when you need it. Let's get back to Dan the Insurance Man on AM 600 and 101.1 FM, Talk Radio WBOB.
Hey, Jacksonville. This is Dan the Insurance Man. We're back on the air. Remember that the phone number here is 222-TALK and 222-8255. We got Mark Goldwich from Gold Star Adjusters. Give us a call. He's ready to answer your questions. So, Mark, just before the break, I was asking you, somebody's got a complaint. They've tried to talk to the insurance company, and most people think, oh, I should just hire an attorney and just have an attorney write a letter and start some sort of legal action. How does that work? A lot of times, do you find that helps people, or is it better? I mean, obviously you're a public adjuster. So where does an attorney fit in to a public adjuster?
Great question. We work with a lot of attorneys. So we have no qualms using an attorney or having a policyholder hire an attorney. But I would say at the right time for the right reasons and understanding that once you hire an attorney, one, it's got to be the right kind of attorney. There are a lot of attorneys out there and they have a lot of different specialties. Not a whole lot of them specialize in first party property insurance plaintiff work. That's a pretty narrow field. And so if you don't hire the one that's expert in that, you may not get a good result, and you may find that the insurance company doesn't find a lot of credibility in that attorney. So that depends. The other thing you have to keep in mind is once you hire an attorney in a case like this, the insurance company pretty much has to hire an attorney to defend themselves. And once they do that, you're kind of taking the claim out of the hands of the claims department and the adjuster, and you're putting it into the legal department. And so most times the insurance company's attorneys work at an hourly rate. And because they're working for insurance companies, they're not able to charge a high rate per hour. Insurance companies don't like that. So they end up paying low rates per hour. And for the attorneys and their firms to make money, they have to bill a lot of hours. So you can be pretty sure that once you bring an attorney on, the case is going to take longer to resolve. Not because it's more difficult at that point. It should be easier. You now have two legal minds working together to try to come up with a resolution. It should go quicker. But one of them needs to have the number of hours really stretch out. And that's our biggest concern about bringing attorneys in. So we recommend attorneys come in once we get to the point where there just is not going to be a resolution without it. We use it as a last resort. But before then, we try various other methods, which would include mediation, which is a state-run program in Florida. It doesn't cost the property owner anything. It costs the insurance company just a little bit of money. And then it costs the time to go through this, which is a few hours. But it can be resolved through mediation. Some claims can be resolved through a process called appraisal, which is not like a real estate appraisal, but it's more like an arbitration panel. It's a three-party panel that resolves the claim, and that pretty much settles it. And then there's litigation. And there may be times where we would recommend litigation before either mediation or appraisal, but it's a case-by-case basis. And so that's how we deal with that.
Okay. And that, you know, during the break, we were talking a little bit, and you kind of gave me a rundown of what happens when, if I, as an insured, wrote my insurance company about a claim and wrote a detailed 2-3-page letter detailing the claim and why I felt that they were underpaying on the claim. And you kind of opened even my eyes about what happens from an insurance standpoint. So what happens? I write, you know, a person writes a letter, it goes to the insurance company, and what happens? It's a detailed letter that says why the adjuster has underpaid on the claim.
Well, of course, it depends on the insurance company. The insurance company that I worked for, what would happen is the adjuster would read the letter, and in most cases, the adjuster themselves would simply respond to the letter. Because you're writing, you know, just if you're just writing to the insurance company, sometimes people write to the adjuster themselves. Well, so the adjuster themselves is going to respond back. And if it's not to anybody in particular at the insurance company, a lot of times the insurance adjuster themselves is going to write back. Now, if you've, you know, did your research and you found out who the vice president of claims was at the insurance company and you wrote to that specific person, well, that person would get the letter. And then they would kick it down the chain to their subordinates and until it reached, guess who? The insurance adjuster. And so the insurance adjuster then writes the letter, and now it goes back up the chain, and people will review that letter up the chain until it's the way the insurance company likes it, or until it's the way that the person who ultimately has to sign off on it likes it. But the person signs off on it. But in reality, the meat of the letter came from the insurance, the same adjuster that you were complaining about to begin with. So you can imagine, you know, how it's going to be spun. And, you know, it's not going to be even handed.
So what do you, typically somebody calls you in, how much do you typically find the insurance companies are leaving off the table?
Yeah, a significant amount of money. You know, we have found that it averages over 400%. The state actually did a study, and so this was not supposed to be in our favor, but when the results came out, we now, all public adjusters, use the state findings in our marketing materials because it was very much in our favor. So the state study found that if it's not a named storm event, but it's just a regular claim, that we average a little over 500% more than what the insurance company initially offered if you're using a public adjuster versus going it alone. And in a named storm situation, the state found that if you hired a public adjuster rather than go it alone, you would average a little over 700 740% more. So almost 750% more if you hired a public adjuster on average than if you went it alone.
Wow. So you're telling me that for every $1,000 that the insurance company says that they're going to pay, you find an additional
additional $7,000. Yes.
Wow.
Right. Right. And that's on average. And there are some cases. I mean, I've had a case where the insurance company initially offered zero because they found it to not be covered. And they wrote a very nice letter with policy language explaining why they were sorry, but it's unfortunate they couldn't find coverage. And that was the end of it. I got this person a little over $396,000 more. So try to calculate that into the figures.
So from zero to $396,000.
Right. Right.
Paid out.
Right.
That's amazing.
It is. And it happened. It's not as unusual as people might think. The numbers aren't always that big. Obviously this was an apartment building that got damaged. Not just a home or a part of a home, but, everything's relative, and it's not unusual for the insurance company to say, sorry, we can't help you. We wish we could. The policy doesn't allow us to pay for this claim. We review it and we don't agree. And we show them, and in many cases without having to hire an attorney, that we get them to agree with us. The policy does cover it. And here's how much they're going to pay. And it's usually in the order of tens of thousands of dollars.
That is absolutely amazing. So you can help somebody, not only an individual homeowner, but you can help somebody who owns rental properties.
Absolutely.
Or an apartment building or something along those lines where they're a landlord.
Right.
So from a public adjuster standpoint, you work not only on an individual homeowner, but on a commercial piece of property as well.
Any property. So it could be a boat, an airplane, jewelry, any property at all, for any way that it's damaged at all, theft, vandalism, sinkhole, fire, earthquake, hurricane, whatever it is, if insurance covers it and you owned it, then we can handle it as long as it's property. We don't do injuries, things like that. Nothing medical related.
Okay. Have you ever worked on a car?
Yes.
So tell me about that. How does that work versus a home?
It works about the same. It doesn't happen very often, mainly because, the amounts being offered on cars, the differences are going to be relatively small. So it doesn't pay for us to get involved, and it also doesn't pay for the car owner to involve us, because then we have to take a fee. And when you're talking about small amounts, any amount that you're paying as a fee is a good amount towards the whole. So what we tend to do on auto cases is we tend to just offer free advice to people who call us on that. But there are some situations, and one that I can recall was a woman who had a car stolen and it was driven into a canal. And so she called us because it wasn't that the insurance company was offering, a reduced value or a depreciated value, or, they didn't account for the new stereo or something. And there's always these little things, they just got new tires and they weren't offering for brand new tires. And so they were paying a smaller amount. They didn't want to pay anything at all. They were actually accusing her and her boyfriend of organizing the theft and the ditching of the car into the canal for the insurance money. So they were basically accusing her of fraud, and so they weren't paying anything at all. So in that case, we did step in and actually represent them to the insurance company, and they paid about $27,000 for the vehicle because that's what it was insured for. And it's funny, she actually bought what's called gap insurance, which is extra insurance, and they thought that was a red flag that she'd bought this insurance, which they sold her, and which is for that purpose.
All right, guys, we'll see you on the flip side of the break.
Talk radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM. WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Voters in Mississippi are going to the polls today to decide a runoff between former Congressman Mike Espy and Republican Senate appointee Cindy Hyde-Smith. If she wins, she becomes the state's first elected female U.S. Senator. And if Democrat Mike Espy wins, he would become the state's first black U.S. Senator since Reconstruction. Special Counsel Robert Mueller says former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort has violated his plea agreement by repeatedly lying to federal investigators. In the Russia probe, Manafort denies that he has been untruthful. The White House says President Trump is exerting what he calls a lot of pressure on General Motors over its plan to cut close to 15,000 jobs. It's part of what GM says will be a major restructuring plan aimed at generating more free cash to spend on innovation. On Wall Street right now, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 40 points. This is SRN News.
As a trusted choice in voter opinion polling, public figures turn to Republic Polling for reliable tracking in any political district. Count on Republic Polling's scientifically weighted results for political polling, tracking which candidates are poised to win elections, issues polling, gauging voters' attitudes and opinions on specific topics, and tracking polls, a series of polling trending over a period of time. Visit RepublicPolling.com to get started. Republic Polling is a Reliant Florida company.
Grassroots Natural Market in Fleming Island is now offering CBD oil. If you haven't learned about the benefits of CBD oil, well, now is the time. Numerous medical studies have shown that CBD oil reduces nausea, eases inflammation, suppresses seizure activity, combats depression, and much more. Grassroots Natural Market in Fleming Island. Fresh, all-natural foods, name-brand vitamins and supplements, and now they're stocking CBD oil. Grassroots Natural Market in Fleming Island. Eat healthy, live healthy. Call 541-0009. That's 541-0009.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage four. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE.
After the long summer, your air conditioning and heat pump have been worked to the max. You'll want to make sure you have your system checked when the weather gets cool. Snyder Air Conditioning should be your first call for your preventive maintenance needs. Why choose another air conditioning company when you can choose Snyder? You can count on Snyder to properly clean and check your system. There's a big difference between checking your system and cleaning your system. Cleaning your system will extend the life of your air conditioning unit and will also save you money on your electric bill. And right now, with 100% financing available with approved credit, there's never been a better time to upgrade your system. Snyder Air Conditioning is proud to be an Amana A-plus dealer and can fix and service any make or model. Snyder Air Conditioning is Jacksonville's number one residential air conditioning company and has been serving Jacksonville for over 40 years. Snyder Air Conditioning. Call today at 641-0600. Snyderman and Amana. License number CAC 1813307.
With the answers to all of your insurance questions, let's get back to Dan the Insurance Man on AM 600 and 101.1 FM, Talk Radio WBOB.
Hey, Jacksonville, we're back. This is Dan the Insurance Man. Our phone number is 222-TALK or 222-8255. We're on the air here with my guest, Mark Goldwich from Gold Star Adjusters, a public adjuster. He's here to answer your questions. Feel free to give us a call. Again, on the break, you know, we kind of chit-chat. And so I kind of want to go over what the state of Florida did and some changes to the law. I don't want to, it's not that I want Mark to repeat himself, but I get such good little nuggets during these breaks. I want to make sure that they get shared with you. So, Mark, let's kind of talk. Let's kind of backtrack a little bit. Let's talk about the state of Florida, what they did after some hurricanes, and what they were trying to do, and the study that you mentioned earlier. What they were really trying to do with that study, but what they actually found out.
Okay, so after the hurricanes of 2004 and 2005. The state, it's a office of accounting and program policy analysis, something like that. Some long
soup.
Title, right? some department of the state. You know, they conducted a study on public adjusters and our effects on claims. And of course, it's you know, my feeling that this was done to try to show that we weren't that effective at helping people recover a lot more money, but that we bogged the system down or that we generated a lot of complaints, things like that. Things that insurance companies, we know that they believe, right? So obviously the insurance companies have the better ear of the state than the public adjusters do. And there's only a couple of us. And relatively speaking, we don't, and certainly at this time, we did not have the lobbyists that the insurance companies did. And so, you know, we could see this as the insurance companies thinking that they could finally prove what they've always known, which is that, you know, we generated complaints, we, you know, made claims drag out for long periods of time. And in the end, the homeowners were left with less money because we got a fee. And so the report actually showed that did not happen. And that was, you know, the percentages using public adjusters versus not going as high as 747% when people used a public adjuster versus not using public adjuster. They also found that there was not this increase in complaints that they thought would be there, and that, yes, claims took a little bit longer to handle when you hired a public adjuster. But I think you can easily see that when you're getting a return that's 747% more while you're paying a 10% fee, it makes a lot of sense. I don't know a lot of people who would turn that down.
But now there were some changes to the law from all of this.
Yes, not necessarily from this study in particular, but from the 2004-2005 hurricane seasons, the insurance companies started lobbying heavily to reduce the amount of time that homeowners had to file claims and to file actions for breach of contract, which is how the insurance companies ultimately get their feet held to the fire, right? If they don't pay the claim properly, ultimately, the homeowner can file suit for breach of contract, and the insurance company have to pay not only the proper amount of the claim, but their attorney's fees as well. And obviously, you know, you can imagine the insurance companies aren't fond of this idea, nor are they fond of the idea that public adjusters had up to 5 years to find these claims or to educate the public that these claims were out there and that they were entitled to additional monies. And so they used their influence and their lobbyists, and they got the Florida legislature to agree to reduce the time from 5 years to 3 years after a named hurricane or a named storm to file these claims or to file an action for breach of contract.
So a good takeaway here for everybody is if something happens and you think you have a claim, and is to reach out and ask a public adjuster to come in and review it and see if there's an actual claim there that you should even would you even recommend that a homeowner or somebody who owns rental properties to hire you or to call you to come in and review something to see if it's even worthwhile to file a claim?
Absolutely, because and here's why. If if you call us out and we review the claim and we don't think it's worth filing a claim for, we'll tell you that, because if it's not covered or if it's just not worth it, there's nothing in it for us. So there's no incentive for us to say, let's file this claim if it's not covered or if there's nothing there or if there's not enough there. So we're going to tell you that. And otherwise, you know, you may file this claim, then the insurance company comes out and they tell you that it's not covered or it's less than your deductible. And now you have a claim on your record, you have a claim on your history, and you have the insurance company professional out there looking around your property, and maybe he sees a swimming pool with no fence, or maybe he sees a trampoline, or maybe he sees a dog that's on their bad dog list, or, you know, maybe he just sees that the home is just not well maintained, and now he's reporting back to the insurance company, and you can have problems arise from that. And so, my theory is, if you don't need the insurance company out at your property, don't have the insurance company out at your property. We don't charge anything to come out and give you our opinion on whether or not you have a valid claim. Even when we come out and give you that opinion, you don't have to hire us. So we always recommend that you do ask us to consult and to give you our opinion as to whether or not you should be filing a claim in the first place.
So how would, personal experience, I called our insurance company one day because we'd had a really bad storm. There was some water that came into the house. I wasn't sure if it came from the roof or if it came from underneath the door because the wind was blowing, the water was backing up. So I didn't know where the water had come from. So I called my insurance company and I said, hey, I have this water. I don't know if I have a claim or not. I just need to ask you some questions. And their response to me was, we can't answer any questions unless you file a claim. And I said, but I don't know if I have a claim. That's what I'm trying to determine. Do I need to file a claim with you, or do I not need to file a claim? But their response was, well, the only way we can answer your questions is if you file a claim. So I said, fine, I'll file a claim.
Right.
Not realizing that I was really harming myself, because a year or so later, 2 years later, when we switched homeowner companies, the new one wanted to deny me coverage, saying I had too many claims on my property. But
right,
all of them had come from a named storm. So in the end, they did say, oh, we our mistake, it was really a named storm. We're not allowed to hold those against you. And so they put the policy in force and they didn't cancel it. They reinstated everything. So, you know, in the end, all good. But had I never called the insurance my original insurance company and filed a claim that was never a claim to begin with, I would never have been dinged and I would never have had a problem down the road 2 years later.
Right. Exactly. And you can see how quickly that can happen and how easily that can happen. And in your case, you were fortunate in that it was a named storm and they can't hold that against you. But you can imagine if it was an April thunderstorm and you had this happen, you wouldn't be able to get away with that. They would be able to hold that against you. But we've had people have that happen to them where they call them up and over the phone, they tell them, you know, they describe it all and then they say, well, that's not covered. And it's on their claim history. This person, if you ask them later, you know, how many claims have you had with the insurance company? They might say zero. But to the insurance company, you had two. And you'd say, well, you had no, you know, you're not being accurate with us. You had two claims. And they would say, no, I never had any claim. You never paid me any claim. And that's where the confusion comes in to a lot of property owners or policyholders. It's only a claim if you receive money, and they don't consider it really a claim if you didn't get paid. And in some of these cases, the insurance company never even sent somebody out to the property to verify that it's not worth putting in a claim or that it's not covered. They just kind of did this over the phone based on what the homeowner was telling them, which may not have been accurate to begin with. But now they've got these claims on their record and they never even sent somebody out, and they never paid them any money. The homeowner doesn't think they have a claim, and yet they could later be accused of trying to deceive their insurance company or another insurance company when they answer the question, I've never had a claim before. So you can see how that can backfire on them.
So from a homeowner standpoint, calling the insurance company and saying, I have this problem with the house, you've just filed a claim.
Possibly. You have to make it very clear to them. Like the first and last words out of your mouth during that conversation should be, I do not want to file a claim, but I have this issue I want to talk to you about. And then when you end the conversation, now again, I did not want to file a claim. I am not filing a claim at this point. And you have to be very clear with them. Some insurance companies actually do have a way of recording this as not being a claim, but others may not.
Hey, I hear the music. We've got another break, and we'll see you on the flip side.
Mark your calendars Friday, November the 30th. That's the Friday after Thanksgiving weekend. Join us for our second year anniversary of the morning show here at WBOB. I am your host, Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, all of us. It's going to be packed. It's going to be huge. Hundreds of people will attend, but I got to get you on the list. Email me, ed@wbob.com. A free party. Come on by or go to eventbrite.com. Type in the keywords Ed Dean or WBOB, our second year anniversary, Friday from 6 to 9 here at the Salem Center.
Make excellent happen. Only at New Balance can you get athletic footwear, apparel, and accessories with highly trained New Balance fit specialists to make sure everything is exactly right. If you're having a hard time finding comfortable shoes or have a hard-to-fit size, your answer is at the New Balance store. New Balance in Orange Park and Beach Boulevard features full-service sit-and-fit locations. Both New Balance stores have a full stock of running, walking, baseball, cross-training, and tennis shoes. You'll find sizes 5 to 18, widths AA, B, D, Double E, 4E, 6E, plus orthotic arch supports. New Balance's state-of-the-art computerized foot scanner gets the right fit every time. Make excellent happen at either New Balance store. 10,095 Beach Boulevard, open Monday through Saturday, 10 till 6. Call 620-0483 or at 1871 Wells Road across from the Orange Park Mall. Open Monday through Saturday, 10 till 8. Call 592-7892. New Balance, athletic footwear and apparel for all ages.
If Obama said the word nationalist and explained it, they wouldn't have any problem with it. But it's Trump. Trump represents an existential threat to mushy-headed liberalism. They know it. They have to take away the rhetorical devices and weapons and issues that Trump has successfully used against the left to expose the left. They have to remove those topics from his discussion.
Laura Ingraham, 9 to 11 a.m. on AM 600 and 101.1 FM WBOB.
Now back to Dan, the insurance man, your go-to guy for all of your insurance questions on AM 600 and 101.1 FM Talk Radio WBOB.
Hey, Jacksonville, this is Dan, the insurance man. The phone number is 222-TALK or 222-8255. This is the last segment of the hour. I want to make sure that Mark gets his information out there to you. So, Mark, you have a book. It's called Uncovered, What Really Happens After the Storm, Flood, Earthquake, or Fire. You wrote this book, and it's all the little tidbits of what happens when you need to file a claim and what you should look for. So talk to me about your book a little bit.
Right. So the book came about because shortly after I got involved in the public adjusting industry and started Gold Star Adjusters, I was telling a friend about just these what we call war stories about what was happening after a hurricane hit the panhandle in 2004. I was handling a lot of claims up there, and I had just left the insurance company. I was still thinking that insurance companies were mainly there to do the very best they could at handling these claims. I just felt like I could do it better. But I really wasn't aware of how large the discrepancies were and how much money could be obtained for policyholders if they had an experienced professional helping them instead of one just helping the insurance company. And I really was amazed by how much money was left on the table by homeowners and policyholders who just didn't know any better, right? And so I'm telling these stories to a friend, and she flat out just told me, you should write a book. And, you know, not knowing any better, I said, okay, even though I'm not a writer, I'm an insurance adjuster. But she said, no, you tell these stories. And so that's what I did. It's really a collection of stories from both sides. So having the experience as an insurance adjuster for a big insurance company for 17 years, plus now having the experience on the other side, I had a good view of the whole claim from both sides, which is a unique perspective. And so it's a collection of stories. So it's not all insurance jargon, and it's not difficult to read. It really is meant for the layperson, for the average person who doesn't really understand their insurance policy. And you could try to read one if you like. I don't recommend it. It's very difficult to do. They're very confusing. So this kind of makes it a little bit easier, and it just explains all the little things that happen after, especially a catastrophic event such as Hurricane Michael in the Panhandle now. It explains the steps that you have to go through, the hoops that you have to go through. It helps you understand what's going to happen to you. So if you're expecting it, it's not going to shock you as much because these events, they really will leave people shocked and dismayed, and they just don't know where to turn or what to do. They get confused and they end up freezing. They just don't do anything, and they will literally walk away from tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars just to avoid going through the claim process any longer. And had seen it happen so many times, I just thought I should write this book and help explain it to people so that they can avoid those mistakes, and so that they know that there are resources out there for them so that they don't have to go through it alone, and so that they don't have to walk away from all that money.
So if somebody wanted to reach out to you, what would be the best way to do it?
They could either go to the website, goldstaradjusters.com, or we have a Facebook page, Gold Star Adjusters. They could call us directly. Local is 904-406-7232. Again, that's 904-406-7232. And those are the best ways to call us or to contact us.
And how far, I mean, obviously here local in Jacksonville, how far away are you willing to help somebody? If
we go all throughout the state, we have some adjusters licensed in Georgia. I'm licensed in the Carolinas. We're putting on somebody in Louisiana and in Texas shortly. But as far as Florida, all throughout the state, and we have been up to the Panhandle a couple of times. We've gone down to the Keys to help people. So wherever you are in Florida, we'll be able to help you in one way or another. Sometimes we refer you to somebody local that we know and trust. Sometimes we help people. We guide people over the phone, virtually. Sometimes we have adjusters in that area. I've got an adjuster in Tallahassee and Lake City. So we can get out to pretty much anywhere in the state.
Oh, well, that's fantastic. And I think when we first met, it was around 2006 or 2007. I think we both had the same business coach.
Right. Right.
And so how long have you been doing a public adjusting now?
Since 2004. So it was shortly after that. 2004, I left the insurance company late in the year in September. Went straight to Pensacola, where Hurricane Ivan had just hit, and worked there for pretty much the next year. And the following year, Hurricanes Wilma and Katrina in 2005 hit South Florida. And then so I spent the next year there. So it wasn't until about 2006 or 2007 that I really got back to Jacksonville, because I was on the road so much to these other places.
And you've been going strong ever since.
Going strong ever since. It started just me. And now we're up to about 9 adjusters. Have one permanently in Georgia. And then, like I say, the others throughout the state of Florida. And looking to grow.
Well, that's fantastic. That is fantastic. So, again, and if somebody wanted to buy your book, what's the best way that they can get it?
Best way to get the book is to go to my website, www.goldstaradjusters.com. There is a page there for the book and a way to purchase it there. And that way it's less expensive to get it through my book than to go to these other to retail outlets, let's say.
All right. And like you said, it's an easy read. We're talking about 125 pages. Of good material, of little tips and tricks, of what to expect, and even some warning signs of what will happen when you file a claim, if the insurance company is going to start messing around with you.
Right.
And so you've got some little tips and tricks of key phrases that the insurance company is going to use if they're going to start giving you a hassle about paying for stuff.
Exactly. Key phrases, things to look out for. Things to look forward to, you know, pitfalls to avoid. There is a lot of stuff in there, and it's all real life experience. It's not theory. It's not insurance. All insurance jargon. It's pretty plain and clear.
Do you find from a public adjusting standpoint that there are companies that are more egregious to underpaying claims than other companies?
Yes. there are those that we would caution people against, what we say run from. But most of them are about the same now. There used to be some really elite companies that we would say, you want to get insured with these people. We don't find ourselves saying that a lot anymore. It's either they're okay, or you want to avoid that company, and we don't want to say those names here.
Right. I understand. No, without naming names, if you want to know who these companies are, I'm sure Mark will be more than happy to tell you if you give him a call and say, hey, I want to talk to you. Which companies would you personally recommend? Give them a call. Give Gold Star Adjusters a call. I'm sure they're happy to talk to you on a one-on-one setting, but we don't want to mention names on the air.
Right.
We've talked about that. We've got your book. Again, it's Uncovered, What Really Happens After the Storm, Flood, Earthquake, or Fire. And again, if you have any questions, we still have a few minutes here left on the show, 222-TALK or 222-8255. I'll tell you what, Mark was going to leave some copies of the book behind. So if you want a free book, give us a call, ask a question to Mark, and we'll make sure, and I'll make sure that you get a free copy of the book. Yeah. But we've got some music here, and I think we're calling it a day. But so you've been on the show with Dan, the Insurance Man, and Mark Goldwich from Gold Star Adjusters. And we'll see you next week on December 4th, where I will have another guest, John Sims from Center State Bank. See you on the flip side, guys.